Join me, please, in a moment of prayer. Father, as we have expressed the prayer in the hymn we've just sung, we would beg, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us in this place, that you would be here among us tonight in your power and in your presence. We're reminded, Father, that as you have inspired your word, you moved men of old by your Spirit to write the truths that you gave them. Father, if you move by your Spirit, our minds need to be moved by your same Holy Spirit if we are to understand and to grasp what you give us tonight from your Scripture. Father, I pray that I might be able to speak clearly and distinctly, and that I might be able to speak that which is true and right according to the Word. But Father, except you would bless me to speak and you would bless us to hear, then it will be an empty experience. Father, enlighten us and empower us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear, but help us to be not only hearers, but doers of your word. Help us to see Jesus in this passage of Scripture that we will have before us tonight. And help us to see him in our congregation. And help others to see him in us. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I ask you tonight to take a Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I'm going to look at three verses tonight. Verses 32, 33, and 34. I understand that these three verses are part of a larger context of Scripture, and we'll look at that larger section later in our study in Mark. But I want you to notice with me tonight one thing that is said about Jesus and something that he did as a result of that. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever planned maybe a vacation? Maybe just some downtime. Time to stop. Only to have something come up that you didn't get to do exactly what you had planned. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had that happen on more than one occasion. How did you react? Sometimes we react with frustration. Sometimes we might even get a little angry, especially if it's another person that seems to want to cause it. Jesus gives us a different picture. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me tonight. And I want you to ask yourselves, where am I in this scenario? Where do my feelings, where do my actions fit in line with this scenario that's described for us? Mark chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, that is, when he came out of the boat that they'd been traveling in, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of these three verses of Scripture. Jesus was in a situation where very shortly he would do a marvelous miracle. But before the miracle came, we find these verses of Scripture. Sometimes our attention is caught by the big verses, by the miracles. But I want to tell you that the miracle sits in the context of these transitional verses. Notice with me these three verses, and note with me how they instruct us as the church of Jesus Christ in the earth today. Notice with me the background, first of all. Jesus and the disciples got into a boat and traveled. Remember, they were around the Sea of Galilee, and there were no 15-passenger vans and four-lane highways. It was easier to move across the water for whatever distance that it was to walk. And these were fishermen. They knew well how to handle the boat. So they got in the boat and they were traveling across some portion of the Sea of Galilee, and they were going to some particular place. Now, if you'll go back with me into verse 31, just before the verses that we've read, we're told that Jesus gave instructions to his disciples. They had been sent out by twos, and they had gone about into the cities and the towns, and they had been given power over demons, and they had been given power to heal, and they had gone out and taught in the synagogues. They came back and they told Jesus what had happened, and Jesus said to them in verse 31, "Come out and come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." So you see, there's the vacation that was planned. There's the downtime that was scheduled. Come out. You've been busy. You've gone from town to town. You've been among the crowds of people. God's used you in a mighty way. It's time to come out and rest a while. And so they get in the boat, and they head out to this spot out into the wilderness, into the desert, out of town, out away from the crowds. But there were a lot of people who saw them, and they had an idea of where Jesus was going. And the Bible says simply that they outwent them. They went from and drew people from all the cities along the way. And they got to where Jesus was taking his disciples by the time Jesus got to that place. Now, they were excited about the prospect of being where Jesus was going to be. It's also interesting that they knew where Jesus was going. When Jesus got there, all the people that they were supposed to be leaving behind were standing there waiting on them. Now, how did Jesus react? I wonder how the disciples reacted. Wait a minute, we're supposed to come out here to rest. What are all these people doing here? Why won't they leave us alone? But you don't find any of that from Jesus. Jesus didn't see an interruption. Jesus didn't see an intrusion. Jesus did not see a change of plan. Jesus saw an opportunity of service. Now, I want you to notice something about what's said about Jesus and how it ought to apply to us today, first of all. Notice with me that Jesus did not operate, if you would use that word, he did not work while he was here on earth in a vacuum. What he did in the sight and the acknowledgement of people. He traveled, and he went out, and apparently from what this statement says, he went to this place On more than one occasion, he went out to rest a while. On more than one occasion, because these people knew where he was going. Now it's interesting that we don't know where he was going. The location's not told. But Jesus had gone into this area enough that other people had witnessed it and watched it and knew what his pattern was. Now folks, that may seem strange, but I'm going to tell you that it sets a precedent for us as far as the church is concerned, to understand that we don't operate in a vacuum either. We, as a body of Christ, we are Christ on the earth right now. We are His body. We look at ourselves as having shortcomings. We look at ourselves as having failures. We look at ourselves as being a small body. But remember, we are the body of Christ. And His Word tells us in another place that He provides for His body what they need. So we're not going to be a weak and failing and shortcoming, incapable body. We're the body of the living Christ. And that living Christ walked among men. And He walked among men regularly enough that they understood His pattern. They saw Him. Beloved, it strikes me as I read that passage that as the body of Christ in the earth, we operate in a world among people. And I ask myself, is my presence as a believer in Jesus Christ, is our presence as a congregation of the body of Jesus Christ, visible enough in the community about us by our times and hours and actions of service among this community, is our presence such that the community has some familiarity with us? Look with me in the book of John for a moment. In John chapter 17, I want you to notice a prayer that Jesus prayed. Very powerful prayer. As a matter of fact, it's the prayer that Jesus prays as the high priest for His people. There are verses in Matthew and other locations as well that we identify many times as the Lord's Prayer. I will tell you that that's the disciples' prayer. Jesus taught His disciples to pray that prayer. This, in John chapter 17, is a prayer that only the Lord did and can pray. This is His high priestly prayer for His people immediately before His arrest and His crucifixion. But I want you to notice some verses from this prayer. I want you to go with me to verse 9, and I want to read verses 9 through 15. And I want you to notice three things from this. In line with the idea of our visibility within the community and within the people, among the people where we live. Look with me at beginning at verse 9, John 17, verse 9. Jesus said, I pray for them. Now an interesting part of the statement. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me. For they are Thine, and all mine are Thine. I used to like this verse because of the alliteration. All mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And I understand that that son of perdition in that passage is Judas. Judas had gone out to betray Jesus, and at the time that he's making this prayer, Judas has already gone out from among the disciples. Now notice what he says. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that is the disciples who will still be in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not, notice this expression, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Now, beloved, I want you to notice with me tonight three things about this prayer that Jesus prayed regarding his disciples. And I would say to you that the things that are said of his disciples through their ministry are said about us today. First of all, Jesus acknowledges the relationship that God the Father has with his people through Jesus Christ. You've given these to me, he said. Remember that scripture says that God has chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, before God, in love. How? Through Jesus Christ. And he makes this statement. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All that I have are thine. And I'm going to change it to our English language today. All that I have is yours, Father. Why? Because I and my Father are one. But you'll notice that the body of Christ, those disciples for whom Jesus was praying, the church today, belong to God the Father through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. God has a place in the body of the church, in the world. Jesus recognized that where they were, where they would be, where we are, would be in a place where the world would be an adversary. If you'll notice, he says in verse 14, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world. Why? He's chosen us out of the world. But he also recognizes that though the world is our adversary, though the world would stand opposed to the message, to the work that we have as the body of Christ, he still didn't pray that God would take us by the shirt collar and pull us out of the world. I pray not that you would take them out of the world. But in essence, what he says is, I'm leaving them in the world with this certainty that you will keep them from evil. Now that obviously was not a matter of saying that they would have no suffering. He went on to tell Peter that he would be put to death. He knew there would be difficulty, but the destruction that would come, even through physical death, there would be no separation from God. Why? Because God holds us in his hands, and none can take us away from it. But Jesus prayed for his body, for his disciples, as they would be, they had been sent out and they would be yet again sent out into the world, into a place that was not really favorable with them and to them. Now, let me ask you a question in light of that. Is our presence in the midst of a world which hated Jesus Christ, is our presence visible enough that there are those who see and are familiar enough to know who we are and what we're doing? I've heard people say, oh, the church ought to be so far out in the woods that nobody knows where it is and nobody can bother it. That's not the way the Lord left the church. We're to go into the world round about us. I'll get to the passage in a minute, but your minds may already have gone to the statement that he says in Matthew chapter 28. I just mark that in your minds. We'll go back to it in a minute. But what I want you to see is these people knew where Jesus went. These people knew Jesus' pattern to some degree. Does the world around us know our pattern? Is our presence such that as we live in the service of Jesus Christ, that there is an awareness of His presence in us, in the community round about us? Now, folks, I can't answer that question. I'm not so sure that my life is such that many people are aware of it outside maybe of this small group. That's not something of which I'm proud and which I brag about. It is something that I am convicted in, wondering how does my life demonstrate what Jesus did. They went ahead and they met Jesus when he got there. Now, how disappointed was Jesus? Came out here to get away from all these folks and they're all waiting on. No. Jesus looked upon those that were there. And if you'll go back into Mark chapter 6, you'll notice that when he came out, Jesus saw much people. And here's the most important statement to me in this whole passage. And he was moved with compassion. You see, folks, Jesus saw an interruption of his plan, of his announced plan. But there was no disappointment. There was no frustration. God's plan is bigger than what we make our plans day by day. And Jesus understood that. And I think he took his people or his disciples out that they would learn this lesson, that sometimes you set out on a plan and God has other things in mind. Our plans change. Our plans are in the sight of the Lord. If you go over into the book of Proverbs just a minute and you'll look in Proverbs chapter 16, I would call your attention to verse 33. The lot, the opportunity, is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, I will tell you that there have been many different descriptions of what a lot is. I've heard it described as drawing straws. I've heard it described as rolling a dice. I've heard it described as tossing stones, smooth and flat. Now, the specifics of it really don't matter. The idea is that there is a disposition of an opportunity, of a chance. We throw we'll roll the dice. We'll roll it in our lap. We'll roll it on the table. But God's plan is bigger than what we see as our opportunity. The whole disposing The whole conclusion, the whole unfolding of the circumstance is of the Lord. The disciples thought they were fixing to get a few days off. The Lord had a different plan. Now, how did Jesus look at those individuals that seemed to change his plans? When he saw them, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with caring. He was moved. This wasn't just an emotional thing. This was a movement to action. He was moved with compassion and what? He began to teach them many things. Why? Because of the way that he saw them and the way that he understood them. If you look at what he said, he saw them and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. This wasn't just a matter of feel sorry for poor folks. This was a spiritual matter in which Jesus looked upon those that came to him. And if you remember, the Bible says, "No man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him." And there are those that God draws into our way and draws into our path for us to have the opportunity of ministry. And ours needs to be a view of those that God brings our way as, not first of all, not as obstacles, not as interruptions, but as sheep. You remember what David said in the 100th Psalm? We are the sheep of his pasture. But they had no shepherd. They didn't know the relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus, rather than being frustrated, disturbed, interrupted, Jesus was moved. How did he express his compassion? He began to teach them many things. Folks, there's an idea in the world today that if we're going to have compassion on people, you got to meet all their physical needs first. You got to feed them, you got to house them, you got to clothe them. All of that's got to take place before you start trying to teach the gospel. I'm going to tell you, that's not what Jesus did. He was about to feed them, and he did feed them, and he fed them in a miraculous way. But before that, before he dealt even with the most basic of physical needs, in his compassion, he began to teach. And what was he teaching? About the shepherd. He was teaching of God's grace through Jesus Christ, because they were as sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them the good news of the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, folks, that that remains today to be should be the most outstanding characteristic and the most easily visible characteristic of the church, is that our compassion is first and foremost a desire to teach Jesus Christ. Oh, we'll help with physical things as we can, and we ought to. But the most important thing, the thing that was most important to Jesus, was that he began to teach. Now, I'm going to tell you, he wasn't just hounding on some point of doctrine. He wasn't just trying to establish some difference between where he was and what some other group had. He preached the truth because that's what these people needed. They were sheep without a shepherd. And he is the shepherd and bishop of the souls of his people. Now, I don't know that everybody that was in that multitude was one of the elect family of God. I don't think it's important that we try to decide that. God knows who they were. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Jesus knows. Paul said in his writing, he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. I think it suffices to say that there were some in that crowd that He knew that were His. Well, how do we know? I don't. But I do have the assurance that Jesus gave to Paul in the city of Corinth. Go, stand, speak. For I have much people in this city. I think we can have the calm assurance that God has a people in Brookett, Georgia tonight. I think we can have calm assurance that God will have a people in every day, every generation, and every time as long as this earth shall last. He says He does. So what do? Teach the things of Jesus Christ. It's not a pounding, it's not a hammering, it's not a belittling, it's not a degrading, but it is a recognition that Jesus Christ is what is needed by His people above all else in the world. And then as we have opportunity, you do good. How much bread you got? Not very much. And then Jesus did that great miracle of feeding the 5,000. But what I want you to see, folks, is that Jesus' compassion, Jesus' caring about people started with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That wasn't the last thing that He came to do. That was the first thing. And as the church of Jesus Christ in the earth, those around us ought to be seen as sheep. Very often as sheep without shepherds. And the one thing that we need to do, the one thing that people needs to see about us, is that our care and concern of people is in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now folks, let me ask you, does the body of Christ known as the Brooklet Primitive Baptist Church have a visible recognition in the world about us that at least some know what are going on? It didn't say that everybody did. It said some of them knew. And they took off. Are there people? Have we lived in the world in such a hidden way that people know where the church is because of the sign out front? But do they know anything about us based on our walk of faith? When we see people about us, do we see them as interruptions or do we see them as opportunities? An opportunity of teaching. Well, everybody don't want to hear it. Everybody may not. But I'll tell you that God will have those who will. And that's the only thing that we ought to be concerned about. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that God has a people to whom He will direct it. It will not return unto Him void. Is our compassion moved in teaching the things of Jesus Christ? Now, I want to close tonight with two applications very quickly. One is a personal, individual application. If you are one of those sheep tonight, I would ask you, do you know the shepherd? Do you hear His voice? Are you following the shepherd? If He's teaching you through the Holy Spirit, are you following Him? Have you made your profession of faith? Have you made your walk as part of the body of Christ visible? If not, today's the day. Now is the opportunity of that profession of faith. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. I'm not going to stand here tonight and say, if you don't do it tonight, you'll bust hell wide open tomorrow. That's not my decision. But what I will tell you is that if God's working in your life, He gives you the right now. And He said in one place, today's the day of salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you know that that Jesus has taught you, and He's taught you through this church and through others of the Lord's servants, and that you ought to take that stance. But I'll give you a second application tonight. And given the fact that most everybody here in this congregation tonight has already made that profession of faith and knows the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to talk about the second application to the church as a whole. Folks, do we see the world around us as the opportunity of ministry in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we moved with compassion, knowing that there are sheep without a shepherd round about? Oh, this world's a bad place. Oh, this world's full of evil. Yep, it is. And there's no arguing that. But we also have a high priest that said, Father, I don't want you to take them out of the world, but I want you to keep them from evil. So we rest in His prayer. Are we looking for those to whom He gives us opportunity of ministry? Are we moved with compassion? Do we teach Jesus? May the Lord help us as a body of believers, that it might be said about us that there are people who know us, that the Lord would draw them to us, and that we would be moved with compassion to teach them. My prayer, for Christ's sake.